Welcome to The Heroic Middle Manager, a show dedicated to teaching managers everywhere the big ideas and practical tools they need to deliver incredible results and create positive change in themselves, their teams, and in the world. We're going to show you how powerful you really are, and I know you're ready. I want to positively change the face of middle management forever, and I need your help to do that. If you love what you're hearing, please leave us a great review and rating on iTunes or anywhere else, because it really helps us get noticed and spread our message far and wide. And hey, why not share it with a friend, a coworker, share it with your team? Every share is a chance to positively impact somebody else. Thank you so much. All right, welcome to episode 6 of The Heroic Middle Manager. And I am excited to talk about this subject today because not only is it one of my favorite things to talk about and one of the most challenging things to incorporate or integrate into our lives, but it's also one of the most important things we can do. And that is developing higher levels of emotional intelligence, or as I like to call it, emotional excellence. Okay, so we're going to talk in this podcast about what that means, why it's important, and just give an overview of it, because I think this is something that is really overlooked by people, right? We learn about processes. We learned about how to have performance, give performance reviews. We learned about how to, have challenging conversations. We learn how to do team building, all these things. But one of the things that we don't do is we don't start in the most important place, which is inside of ourselves. And that emotional excellence, developing emotional excellence, is a critical tool, not only to be an effective middle manager or heroic middle manager, but to live a meaningful and fulfilled life. And that's something that's a theme that's going to come up over and over again in this podcast, is that there is no real separation between you as a leader and you as a human being. They're all the same. So the more that you develop yourself as a human being, for the sake of developing yourself as a human being and to develop the ability to do good in the world, the more effective and impactful you're going to be as a leader. Okay. And you can go back to episode 5, where I talked to August Tarak about the business secrets of the Trappist monks, but he talks about this at length about why, a lot of times what we do is we do personal development for being better in business. And personal development is really about being a better human being, which then translates very, very directly into being more effective in business. So let's talk emotional excellence. So first of all, what are three kind of big mistakes that people make all the time? The first one is we push aside bad emotions. Okay. So what that means is if there's imagine yourself as a leader, sometimes we have to have challenging conversations with people. It's just part of the job. Hopefully it doesn't happen too often, but when it does need to happen, it needs to happen. And so some of those conversations can create very uncomfortable emotions, anxiety, might be fear, some emotion on the spectrum of fear, discomfort, insecurity, uncertainty, or whatever. And sometimes those can be very powerful. And what we can do is we can push aside bad emotions, right? In other words, so kick the can down the road. And the problem is when you do that, you're simply putting the wheels in motion to make the problem even worse, right? So imagine you have an employee, somebody on your team who's not, maybe there's something that needs to be addressed. And if you don't address it because you're unwilling to deal with the emotions that you are clearly going to feel when you have this conversation, the person's not going to know what they're doing is wrong. It's probably going to get worse. They're going to continue to do it. And by the time you address it, you're probably going to freak out or overreact because you've let it build up so much. I can say this as a parent. I've definitely done this as a parent from time to time. So the second big mistake is we allow ourselves to wallow in emotions like self-pity, or we vent rage, or we get completely wrapped up in unproductive emotions, right? So in other words, we don't have the tools to move effectively and efficiently through those emotions to get to the point where we can take action. And the third thing is believing that emotions destroy logic. Okay. Like somehow logic is good and emotions are bad. And I labored under this illusion or mistake for a long, long time. And I want to say, I want to show on this podcast, that that's not really the case, right? Everything is integrated in us as human beings. And so, you know, there is no real separation between emotions and logic. So, you know, what are emotions? And then what is emotional excellence? So, you know, when you look up on the internet, man, there's definitions all over the place about what an emotion is. I don't think there's a clear definition, but the simplest version that I like to use, and I did not come up with this, and I'm going to post the link to an awesome book that I got this definition from that really speaks to me in the show notes of the podcast. But emotions are a system of processing information and drawing conclusions, right? Emotions are a system of processing information and drawing conclusions. And they typically have three parts. They have a subjective experience, right? So you have a subjective experience. And what subjective means is simply that your perception of what is happening is unique to you. So you and I can see the same events and interpret them completely differently, right? So you have a subjective experience. The second thing is you have a physiological response as a result of that experience. So it could be anything from smiling to your palms getting sweaty to have a knot in your stomach to tensing up, you know, depends what the subjective experience is. So you have a physiological response. So your body and, you know, body and mind does something, has a reaction to it. And then depending on the story that you make up about what that reaction means, you have a behavioral or expressive response. Okay. So again, three steps: a subjective experience, a physiological response or physiological reaction, and then a behavioral or expressive response. So that might be the action you take. It might be anything expressive, like rolling your eyes, tensing your body, you know, turning away, whatever. So the point is though, that you have an experience that is unique to you. You then, your body reacts in a certain way, and then you take some kind of action based on the response, based on the physiological response in your body. Okay. So the good news is that means there's immense power that we have to change the stories we tell ourselves about what we experience and how we react to those experiences. So, what is emotional excellence? It is the power to integrate thinking and feeling to make optimal decisions. Okay, the power to integrate thinking and feeling to make optimal decisions. And what's important about this is that there is no real separation again, right? We're always thinking and we're always feeling, and trying to separate or compartmentalize those things is a fool's errand. So the really important thing is, how do I integrate those, right? Like, how do I recognize what I'm feeling and how that feeling is driving my thinking? And how can I put practices in place or learn some new skills to reframe what those things mean, or to be able to observe my emotions, or just to be able to not, you know, completely identify with my emotions and have them guide my thinking in ways that I don't like, you know? So it could be like, it could be something like somebody on your team challenges you, you know, maybe fairly forcefully, not necessarily rudely, but very forcefully, right? Your response to that might be like discomfort, right? And you might interpret that discomfort as, this person is challenging my authority, and just simply react. Right. Another way to think about it is, hey, like, wow, this, instead of feeling uncomfortable, you know, these feelings I'm feeling are telling me that, man, there's an opportunity to have a cool conversation here. And this person is passionate about what they are talking about. And it would behoove me as a leader to learn more about what their point of view is and why it is they're so passionate about it, because there might be something really important here. Okay. So the power to integrate thinking and feeling to make optimal decisions. So I want to read this quote, because I love this quote. There can be no wisdom without emotion. We may be aware of a truth, yet until we have felt its full force, it's not ours. To the cognition of the brain must be added the experience of the soul, right? And so how I interpret that is, is knowledge is one thing, or wisdom is one thing, or facts are one thing, but emotions are what really bring them to life, right? So for example, I think of a kid, you know, this is what popped into my mind, but a kid, you know, whose dad tells him, hey, the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Okay, that's a fact. That's interesting. What makes that kid light up, though, is the awe and wonder and curiosity about how that could be and what that means. And it's those emotions, when combined with that fact, that might inspire that kid to do the work to become a physicist or, you know, an astronomer or something like that. Just the fact that the Earth is 93 million miles from the sun is not going to be enough to do that, right? So, so just remember that our emotions are, or think of, you know, your team, right? And say, for example, they complete a project on time. The fact is they completed a project on time. The emotion that brings it to life is satisfaction and, you know, being proud of yourselves and excitement and, you know, all those things. And so as a leader, if you can cultivate those emotions, you know, or highlight those emotions or ask the kinds of questions to draw those emotions out, it will illuminate the experience for people and inspire them. Okay. So ultimately though, you know, our brains are pattern matching machines. Okay. So what we do is we have so much information coming to us all the time. Like, you know, we're being bombarded with more information than our brain can process. So what happens is our brains are very effective pattern matching machines. So we look around us at what is happening and we try to categorize based on past experiences what is happening in the present moment, because it just makes it much more quickly than trying to process everything as new. Okay. So what that means is, let's say, for example, you had a boss who used to question you relentlessly and you felt micromanaged and not trusted and whatever. You might then have a situation where a new boss who's a completely different person asks you a question and your reaction is exactly the same, right? I feel micromanaged and blah, blah, blah. And because your brain is pattern matching, you know, what has happened to you before to what is happening now. And that can be, if you're not aware of it, holy God, that can be super unproductive. We have so many patterns that play out in our lives that we're not even aware of, you know, as human beings and in our leadership roles. So, you know, there's a illusion called the Adelson's checkerboard illusion. And I won't explain it here, but what I'll do is I'll put a link in here to the website. But basically what it shows you is how you can literally look at something with your eyes and see what is not true. It's crazy how it works. And it's because your brain is pattern matching. Even when you know it's true, like even when you know what the illusion is, I'm looking at it right now on my screen and it still looks like it's basically these two squares are the same exact color, but because of one has a shadow across it, we think of it as lighter. And like, so even though I know what the illusion is, I'm looking at it and these two squares look like a different color, but they're the exact same color. And I literally can't see it. But if you put a color, you know, if you take it into an image editing program and you can see they're the exact same color. So just remember, I'll put a link to that, but every choice you make, every action you take, and every experience you create forms the basis for your brain's predictions for the future. So three facts I really want you to think about, right? Emotions exist. We none of us, they're part of what makes us human. You know, none of us are Spock. So emotions exist. So we might as well accept that and recognize that, hey man, you know what? If I can make these work for me, these are a source of great power. Number two, emotions affect all of us. No one is immune from or able to separate their emotions and logic or whatever. They affect all of us. How they affect us, though, we have great power to choose that. And emotions are data and energy. And I realize that might sound a little woo-woo, but what that means is emotions are data in the sense that they can help us understand what's going on inside of us, but they can also help us recognize what is happening in other people, right? So if somebody is very angry, for example, that's a very useful source of data. You know, and so, and then their energy, because when we are having tough emotions, because there are no right or wrong emotions, there are only emotions, right? So a lot of times we really get ourselves into trouble with this, and I'll explain this in a minute. But their energy, because if we're having tough emotions, like say sadness, for example, you know, we can feel drained and lethargic and lacking in energy. Where if we're happy or joyful or inspired, we feel, you know, unstoppable and full of energy and full of life and vitality. So three facts: emotions exist, emotions affect all of us, and emotions are data and energy. Okay. And I was going to explain something there, but now I forgot what it was. So now I want to talk about some signs that you know, your emotional intelligence might be a little bit on the low side, or there might be an opportunity here for you to work on, you know. So you have a hard time reading people, right? So you can't tell what is they're even feeling, right? Number two, you're not even sure of what you feel. It might just be like a, you know, cauldron of emotions. It might just be really uncomfortable feelings, but you're not able to label your emotions. Like, I feel anxious right now because of the insecurity I'm feeling, because I have to give this presentation and I don't enjoy public speaking and I'm afraid of being judged. Like, that, being able to label your emotions to that level of granularity is really important. And if you can't do that at all, that might be a sign that your emotional intelligence is a little bit low, or there's an opportunity. Let's reframe that. It's hard to make sense of others' emotions. So you're like, somebody will be reacting a certain way or expressing an emotion, and you can't even wrap your mind around why in the hell they might even be feeling that. You struggle to control your own emotions. So you get triggered, and then you react, right? And a lot of times when we do that, when there's very little space between stimulus and response, there is the reaction that we have is not one that we really want to, you know, not a productive reaction. Emotions get in the way of working through problems, right? So in other words, you might get so wrapped up in the emotional experience that you're having that you just simply are stuck and you can't see the forest through the trees. You offend people and you don't know why. Number seven, people tell you that you lack empathy. And number eight, you struggle in relationships, right? You might react, you might react quickly. You might feel like you're not able to empathize with people. You don't understand the emotions of your partner or the other person you're in a relationship with. So you struggle in relationships. So if you're exhibiting some of those symptoms, let's call it, it's possible. You know, there's always, let's put it this way, there's always an opportunity for all of us to develop higher levels of EQ. So, you know, I want you to picture right now, like picture an iceberg, right? And we all know this about an iceberg that, you know, and I don't know what the exact number is, but say like 10% of the iceberg is above the surface and 90% is above the surface. And that metaphor is really good for behaviors and emotions, right? Because our behaviors are what we typically see the most of. And that represents what's above the surface in the iceberg. So we tend to focus on the behaviors, but it's the emotions that make up most of the mass, you know, and they lie under the surface a lot of the time. And as leaders, man, we tend to focus so much on the behavior without ever spending time getting down below the surface and helping connecting with people on an emotional level. So I'm going to teach you in an upcoming podcast about the lead model for emotional validation, which is really seeking to understand, acknowledge, and accept another person's emotional experience. But that tool is very powerful for helping you operate effectively under the surface, you know, below the waterline where the emotions lie. So just, again, think of a metaphor of an iceberg, and the behavior is a very small part of, but it's the part we can see. And we really want to focus underneath the surface on the emotions. And as leaders, if we can do that, man, the connection we can make and the influence we can have is very powerful. And really what this is about, right, as I mentioned this before, it's creating a bigger space between stimulus and response. So I don't know if anybody, you know, some of you may have read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, a very powerful book about a Jewish concentration camp survivor in World War II. And what he talks about is creating the space between stimulus and response, because it's in that space where you can be curious and be empathetic and be thoughtful and you can choose how you want to react, right? So what he says is between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom, right? So very, very powerful. And that is ultimately what this is all about, right? Is creating space between stimulus and response. So something happens to me, instead of just simply reacting, I take the time, I assess what happened, I assess my own beliefs about what happened. You know, I assess my emotional condition. I assess or ask myself what it is I really want. I might ask myself, hey, what kind of questions could I ask to learn more? Hey, you know, maybe assuming positive intent, which we'll talk about in a future podcast, you know, what's another way for me to interpret this person's motivations or what, you know, the underlying situation. And so as you do all these things, you are creating space between stimulus and response. And what you're giving yourself is a greatly enhanced ability to respond in a way that is productive. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff around this that I'll talk about in future podcasts. But the last thing, I mean, really what I want you to take away from this are three big ideas. Emotions are assets. Okay. So again, remember that the definition of emotional excellence is the power to integrate thinking and feeling to make optimal decisions. So emotions are assets. They're not something to be dismissed or pushed away or ignored. They are assets and they are capital that you can develop to inform your decision-making and also your humanity. But ultimately, leaders who are emotionally excellent or emotionally effective are able to perform better and help others perform better under many more types of circumstances, especially the challenging ones. So emotions are assets. This is huge. Number two, 80 to 90% of competencies that differentiate high performers are in the domain of emotional intelligence. Okay. And that's from Daniel Goleman, who is sort of one of the world's thought leaders on emotional intelligence. So think about that for a second. 80 to 90% of competencies that differentiate high performers are in the domain of emotional intelligence. So if you are ignoring this, you are leaving a unbelievable amount of potential for yourself and for your team and for your organization on the table. And lastly, emotions drive people. People drive performance, right? So again, thinking back to the iceberg analogy, you know, it's that massive, it's what's under the surface that is the most influential, creates the most inertia and movement, right? It's the emotions. Emotions drive people. People drive performance. So spend more time under the surface on the bottom part of the iceberg, and you will be rewarded not only with better performance, but you'll be rewarded with better relationships. And those relationships create more meaning and fulfillment in your work. So when you go to work and you're working with a group of people that you have an important, meaningful, emotional connection with, you will enjoy your work better. So will they, and you'll produce better results. So it's there's no reason not to, right? The main reason is we need to change our point of view that emotions are messy. Like logic and facts are simple and straightforward, and emotions are messy, and I don't want to go there. No, you got to go there. You got to go there because there's just so much goodness that lies there for yourself as a leader. But again, also for yourself as a human being. And there's so many aspects of the two that are the same. But the more emotionally intelligent you become, you know, another thing I'll talk about this in another, never mind. I'll talk about what I was about to say in another podcast. But just remember, emotional excellence is the path to highly effective leadership and a meaningful and fulfilled life. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and there'll be lots more to follow, lots more to come on emotional excellence, because it's one of my favorite subjects and it's one of the most important things. In the meantime, be heroic. Thanks for listening, and I hope you loved this conversation as much as I did. Now, go apply what you've learned and lead your teams with positive power, and we'll see you next time.